3 John verses 13 through 14, these are God's words. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Amen. Thus ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant words. It looks like it's just a kind, brotherly, loving close to a letter, and it indeed is those things, but it is not just those things. There are a couple of places here where verses 13 and 14 connect back into the letter. One is by describing his urgency of desire to see him shortly. He shows us what a significant place the fellowship of believers ought to have in our lives, in our desires. It is very urgent that he would come to the church where Gaius is. After all, Diotrephes is running amok. Those who hold to true theology and host others who do so are being excommunicated, and part of John's desire to come to this church is from verse 10 to call to mind the deeds which Diotrephes is doing, to lay these allegations personally, and to have the trial and excommunicate this false excommunicator. So it's very urgent that John would go to this church. And yet, right up there among the other reasons why John wants to go to this church is to speak face to face with his brother Gaius, with his beloved, as he's called him, three times in this tiny little letter. Three times he said, beloved, beloved, beloved. And again, in the singular, which has a little bit more force in connotation than when beloved comes in the plural. So verse 2, verse 5, verse 11, beloved. So the first thing is how our affections should be stirred up towards those who are in Christ. Not just because we're Christians together and we have some of the same ideas and some of the same commitments. Those are the sorts of things that anyone can have their affections stirred up to one another over. And of course, these ideas are God's ideas, and these commitments are God's commitments, so it should be all the more in those things. But because believers are united to Christ, believers are born of God, they are from the same family. Verse 11, he who does good is of God. But then in that the second part of that, in verse 11, when he says, he who does evil has not seen God, this is actually related to something in verse 14, because he who does good is of God. It's interesting, he doesn't say, but he who does evil is not of God. He says, he who does evil has not seen God. And so there's a little bit of an imbalance in the contrast here in what he says in verse 11, and it's telling us that there are two factors at play, two factors in play here, that the one who does good is born of God and has seen God, and the one who does evil is not born of God and has not seen God. And so there's this being born of God together that should stir up our affections towards one another. We have that seed of God in us by the Holy Spirit, giving us faith in Christ, and by the seed of God that the Holy Spirit has caused to be born in us, making us to be born of God. He brings us into our adoption by union with Christ. So there's both a begetting and an adoption going on, and we should love one another who have the same seed in us from God, have had the same begetting, as it were, from God, and who have the same adoption, that we are God's children. But then the second thing that was a point of contrast is that those who are born of God see him. That is, we have his face shining upon us. We know him by faith. So this is that 2 Corinthians 4 idea of the Spirit having caused the light of the knowledge of God's glory to shine in our hearts in the face of Jesus Christ. So there is something about believing into Christ and knowing him as God that is a greater seeing of his face than eyeballs actually catching reflected light would be a seeing of his face. Like John says in John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and we beheld his glory. Well, that was not a beholding with the eyeballs, although they did behold Jesus with their eyeballs, but there are many who beheld Jesus with their eyeballs that did not behold the glory of Jesus. They did not behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so this seeing God here is a seeing by faith. It's when the Holy Spirit gives us to see that Jesus is God, not with eyes, but with faith, to know the glory of God in Jesus Christ. But then there's not only seeing his face, as it were, by faith, but knowing that that face smiles upon us, knowing that that face is the face of Numbers 6. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace." I know that in our translation, I think one of them is translated face, the other one is translated countenance. But it's the same word. Well, the peace of God comes to us by his, as it were, again, it's observed by faith and perceived and received by faith, not by eyeballs. But the peace of God comes upon us by his lifting up his face on us. The wonderful benediction in number 6. So when he says, "But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face," and then he says, "Peace be to you." He says, "You're going to have to wait to see my face," because we don't see the face of the Apostle John by faith. Faith isn't in the Apostle John. So John's actually going to have to go to where the church, the place where Gaius is, for them to be able to speak face to face. But then he doesn't have to wait, Gaius doesn't have to wait to see God's face, to see Christ's face. Yes, there is a difference. There's a great gain in being absent from the body and present with Christ and entering glory and what we shall see even with our eyes there. But as God is God and infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, he is in every place, as it were. And when you know his peace, you know his face lifted upon you. This is what we desire most of all for one another, not just that we would have one another's peace. Surely John is wholehearted toward Gaius, and there is a peace. There is a eirene, which is the Greek that translates shalom. And although in the Greek, eirene doesn't necessarily mean everything shalom does in the Hebrew, in a biblical context, shalom, the whole posture of God being for someone in everything that we need him to be is what's behind the word eirene, the peace in the New Testament. And so surely John is wholehearted towards Gaius as well, and his peace would be to Gaius, but it's not my peace to you. It's God's peace. It is Christ's peace that he is especially wishing to Gaius, greeting Gaius with in verse 14. So the shining of God's face upon him, the lifting up of God's face unto him, is what he is wishing him here. And so there's something in this greeting, this desire to see him face to face now, this affection that is so great that this book of the Bible is actually shorter than it otherwise would have been. "I had many things to write," he says, "but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the book gets abbreviated because of his the love that he has for him, and then the desire that he has for him, that he would know God's smiling upon him, and then the delight that is expressed by true believers. Our friends greet you. They have that delight in this opportunity by John's writing this letter. There are others who are delighted in the opportunity to reconnect with Gaius, even through just a little clause at the end of the letter. And John also delighted that Gaius can greet the friends that are there by name in John's behalf. So three big things here. One, that we would have our love for other believers stirred up towards them from being in the family of God together. Number two, that our great desire for those whom we love would be that they know the lifting up of God's face to them, that they would have the peace of God, the shalom of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then three, that we would take what opportunity we can to express our delight in being connected to one another. So may the Lord give us an affection, a union, an interaction, a fellowship that is born out of being born of God. May he give that to us with other believers. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that your Spirit, who pours out your love into our hearts from you, would also stir up in us love for one another, love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, a desire that our brothers and sisters would know your smile upon them, and give us, Lord, also to take advantage of expressing our smile, as it were, our enjoyment of and delight in one another. Grant that your church on earth then would be known by a love for one another that doesn't just reflect, but comes from the love of Christ for us, your love for us in Christ. Do this in each of our hearts, in each of our lives, in this family. Do it for our church, we pray. Do it for your church more broadly, we ask. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.